Well, thank you, Mr. Irvin, and thank you for that last song. That was really awesome. I haven't heard that for a long time. And thank you for the opening prayer, Mr. Sani. I'll be in this afternoon while Mr. Irvin passes around some tongue depressors. Don't believe what they look like. They look like just picnic knives, but they're really tongue depressors. And please, no money. I can't remember how many times I've asked myself, why did I say that? To realize it's already too late. Once the words come from your lips, it's too late to take them back. Unless you're making a recording where you can edit it by erasing and re-recording it before anyone else hears it. I could not have said anything were it not for my tongue, a small but very most powerful member of our body. The tongue, give you a little anatomy here, is a muscular organ in the mouth. The tongue is covered with moist, pink tissue called mucosa. Tiny bumps cover tiny bumps called papillae give the tongue its rough texture. If you would lick your finger, you could tell it's rough, you know. You don't have to do that, by the way. Thousands of taste buds cover the surface of the papilla. Taste buds are a collection of nerve-like cells that connect the nerves running to the brain. The tongue is anchored in the mouth by webs of tough tissue and mucosa. The tether holding down the front of the tongue is called the frenum. In the back of the mouth, the tongue is anchored to the hyoid bone. You'll probably forget all of this after a while, you know. The tongue is vital for chewing, swallowing food, as well as for speech. The four common tastes are sweet, sour, bitter, and salty, sometimes like our speech. A fifth taste called umami results from tasting glutamate present in MSG. The tongue has many nerves that help detect and transmit taste signals to the brain. Because of this, all parts of the tongue can detect the four common tastes. The commonly described taste map of the tongue really doesn't exist. Proverbs 18:21. Let's go there. Many a one has caused his own death or the death of others by a false or injurious tongue. We have people in prisons today because somebody's used some false accusation about them they can't unprove. Well, the New International Version, 1984, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The New Living Translation, the tongue can bring death or life to those who love to talk, those who love to talk will reap the consequences. King James Version, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Here's the one I like the best, and it's called God's Word Translation. I've never heard of this one before, 1995. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love to talk will have to eat their own words. You've heard of eating crow. That's pretty much it right there. How true this statement is. The tongue is a mighty powerful tool to be guarded with godly wisdom and how we use it. Though a very strong member of the human body, it is still very delicate, yet extremely essential in many ways. You need it to taste your food, to swallow food or water, to keep your lips moist, you know. You can also do fun things with it as well. You can whistle, if you can whistle. Lick an ice cream cone. You can always also curl it up. Stick it out. Or touch the tip of your nose. Now, I know people that can do this. I cannot do that. I have not yet attained this skill. And when you were a kid, you learned to stick out your tongue to others when you're upset, you know. Or just to make a face or shoot spit wads across the room at your friends. I think we've probably all done that at one time or another, at least the guys. But the most important function of the tongue is for communication. This is what I want to talk to you about today. This little muscle, actually I believe it's probably the strongest muscle in the body, but this little muscle seems to get me in more trouble more often than I would like to admit, along with my foot, called sticking my foot in my mouth. Probably, I think my most favorite quote that I've ever found was on a restaurant wall behind the cash register. And it said, "A closed mouth gathers no foot." Author unknown. I liked it so well that I made a copy of this quote and I hung it above my desk in my office in my last place of employment. But I'd like to conduct an exercise. In fact, Kelly, do you have another one of those dealt with you there? Excuse me just a minute. I would like to conduct an exercise on how important the tongue is in communicating. Like the tongue sends a message to the brain when it comes in contact with food or drink, the brain sends a message to the tongue to tell us what to say. But sometimes the tongue just doesn't pay attention and starts wagging before it's supposed to, before the brain catches up, causing all kinds of havoc. Because, like I said earlier, once it comes off the tongue, through the lips, and into the air, or in someone else's ear, it's already too late. It's done. It's over with, and you can't get it back. You say, it's a bad tongue, you know. You've heard people say, my bad. Well, that's what it is, your bad tongue. Well, you have each been given a tongue depressor. Now, it really isn't a plastic picnic knife, as you would like to think of it is. What I would like you to do is this. I'm going to take it, hold it with the sharp end out. Place a tongue depressor on your tongue. Then introduce yourself to the person sitting next to you, wherever that might be, behind you, in front of you. Say, my name is, and how are you doing today? And experience what it would be like to communicate with another human being without having tongue. I don't know. What? How you doing? Now that was fun, wasn't it? But just imagine if that was the only way of communicating we had. You know, sign language would have to become around pretty quick, I would imagine. But it was sort of a fun exercise. But you'll find that this might be more acceptable than what actually comes off of our tongue at times, you know. Of course, this has been just sort of a fun experiment, but provides the importance of our tongue. Yet we find in Scripture God has a lot to say about the effect our tongue has on our whole being. You turn with me to Matthew 12. We're going to read verses 34 through 37. And Christ here says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Sometimes we just don't stop to say what we're saying until it's too late. This is just the way the human mind works at times, but it's something I, for one, can improve upon. And it's not an easy thing, it's a difficult thing. And I go through this every day at work, because we have people go through it. Sometimes you like to say to them, send things to them that you should not be saying, you know, because that's the human mind. But you have to stop and think. Sort of like telling a child how to cross the street. Stop, look, and listen. First you should think, formulate the words on your tongue, then think again before you allow the words to cross your lips. It's very easy to be ensnared. Proverbs, I'll just read this, Proverbs 10:18, you can turn there if you want, but whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the lack of wisdom. Here the lips and the tongue are somewhat interchangeable, except that the tongue has to produce the power through the lips. Proverbs 12:13, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health, and the truthful lip shall be established forever. But the lying tongue is but for a moment, because you'll be caught in your lie. Chapter 13, verse 2. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. In James 1:19, you don't need to turn there. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. You drop down to verse 26 if you're there. Then I'll read it. If anyone among you thinks he is righteous and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his whole heart, his own heart. This one's religious is useless. Well, today we have had an exercise in some of the ways the tongue can be used in fun and in function, and how it is a necessary member, the same as we are all necessary members of the body of Christ, and how we all affect one another and how we interact. Let us remember, especially when we are representing God, to think before we speak. Like the saying, a closed mouth gathers no foot. Proverbs 21:23 tells us, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. So let us all try to stay out of trouble. And if after the services you can't think of anything to say to me, just curl up your tongue and stick it out at me and I'll understand. And please pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Have a good Sabbath.